Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, this season of Lent has been kept as a special time of devotion, of self-denial, and of a humble repentance that's born from a faithful heart that dwells confidently on our Lord's word and draws from that word life and hope. We pray then that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of his beloved Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten tide for each of us, so that we come to Easter with glad hearts and keep that feast in sincerity and truth. Please kneel, or you may sit. God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayers. To give abundant blessing to all works of mercy, and have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ.
Hear us.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord is merciful and gracious. He remembers that we are dust. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He remembers that we are dust. Those who wish to receive ashes are invited to come forward now.
dust, into dust you shall.
We stand for the hymn, O Lord, who throughout these 40 days. Teach us to deny the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing that you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins, acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and give a blessing behind and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity. For I know my transgressions,
and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned,
and done what is evil in your sight,
so that you are proved right when you speak,
and justified when you judge.
Surely I have been sinful from birth,
sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Hide your face from my sins,
and blot out.
Create in me a pure heart, O God. and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from all my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Oh,
sorrows. In the name of Jesus, behold the man. That is what Pilate said as he paraded Jesus in front of a hostile crowd. Behold the man. Pilate meant those words, I believe, sarcastically. But you know what? Unwittingly, they provide great advice for us. And so this Lent, we're going to do exactly what he bids us do. Behold the man. Behold the man who is also God. The God who, by becoming man, can have hands and feet, can have DNA, lungs and a heart, can have a liver and an esophagus and an epiglottis and an appendix. A God who now can walk and pray and work and sing and weep. A God who has a mouth and a tongue and a stomach, which means he needs to eat. He can be hungry. The Father and the Holy Spirit cannot be hungry. They do not need to eat. But Jesus is different. He is not only God, he is also man. Behold the man. The man who can actually get hungry. Next Sunday, we will hear how Jesus went into the wilderness. Right after his baptism, he fasted for 40 days. 40 days without food. He did not just give up chocolate for Lent. He gave up all food. For 960 consecutive hours. How long can you go without food? Jesus fasted. So fasting should not be a foreign concept to us who follow him. But I have to admit, it's pretty much a foreign concept to me. In tonight's gospel, though, Jesus said, look, if you give to people in need, do so secretly. When you pray, don't do it publicly. When you fast, do it so other people don't notice. Notice, he did not say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. And he speaks it right along with prayer and giving as if fasting should be as common among us as praying to our God and giving to people in need. I'll admit, it's not in my case. I'm trying to learn. We fast in order to discipline our bodies. So that these bodies can be used for our Heavenly Father's work. That, by the way, is the reason for the other two Lenten disciplines also, prayer and giving to people in need. This Lent, I urge you to set aside enough time for prayer each day that it makes a clear difference in your schedule. So that you go, wait a second, this is messing with my day. That's the point. That you be so generous in your giving above and beyond what you usually give, that you actually notice that it is difficult, more difficult to make ends meet. Then you learn your God is not your money. Do the same with fasting. It's okay to give up some kind of food for Lent, but that's not really fasting. Fasting is giving up all food for a certain period of time. If I give up chocolate, I'll substitute something else. I won't go hungry. But if I fast, my stomach's going to grumble. I'm going to know it. I'm going to feel hunger. That's the point. So that my belly realizes it is not my God. The logical assumption among us is that we would fast to remind ourselves that Christianity is spiritual, not physical. The reality is just the opposite. We fast so that we're reminded that Christianity is physical as well as spiritual. It's avoiding the physicality and just focusing on the spirituality that's gotten humans into trouble over the years. Adam and Eve wanted a spiritual thing, knowledge of good and evil, and they ignored the physical command of God to eat of all the trees in the garden, but not of that one tree. The Sadducees concocted this ridiculous story about a woman who married 7 brothers in succession, all to disprove the resurrection, to say the physical isn't real. We're just about the spiritual. Jesus shot them down. There are people today who say, well, you know what? I'm a spiritual person, just not a religious person, which really means I'm spiritual but not physical. In other words, I don't want to get my physical body out of a physical bed and get it to a physical church to hear a physical preacher proclaim God's word so that my physical mouth is ready to receive Christ's physical body and blood that were physically offered for me on Calvary. They want life to be spiritual, but that's not how God gives it to us. Jesus comes to us as a physical person. And when we deprive our bodies of food, when we pray with all of our physical mind, when we give with our physical hands to people who are in need, it's hard to come to the conclusion that Christianity is just a spiritual religion. We understand it's really physical too. This is why we fast. The traditional Christian day of fasting is Friday because Jesus died for us on Friday. It's especially in Lent that Christians have traditionally set aside Friday for fasting. I'll admit I haven't traditionally done that, but I'm going to try it this year. I'm not sure I'm ready to give up. I think I need to train my body spiritually and physically. So I'm going to start with a half day on Friday. I'm not going to eat after lunch on Fridays. If you'd like, I invite you to join me. Not physically joining me, but we'll do this task together. Then I'm going to try to do a little bit more to remember my Lord between the Good Friday service and the Easter morning service this year. I will seek to fast. And I believe my stomach will be rumbling by the end, crying out to be fed. And it'll be being fed by my Lord's word. In fact, I would encourage you when you fast to take the time that you would have been eating for prayer and the money that you would have spent on food and give it to the poor. Then you get fasting, almsgiving, and prayer all together. Oh, by the way, you'll notice when I'm intending to break fast on the best time of all, on Easter morning, when we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. I'll get to feast first on the Lord's word, then on the food that the youth prepare, and then on the best feast of all. The thing we should never fast from, our Lord's body and his blood. Why did Jesus fast? Same reason that we're to fast, to discipline his body, so that he was ready when his Father called on him. He was ready to give his back to be slashed, his hands and feet to be punctured, his head to be pierced, his side to be stabbed, his whole body to be offered as a sacrifice for us. It's a good thing, too. Right before Jesus taught us about prayer and almsgiving and fasting in today's gospel, he spent a lot of time teaching us about God's expectations for us. And you would assume that because Jesus is a man, behold the man, he would relax the teachings of the law. Jesus does just the opposite. He puts the Ten Commandments on steroids. The Ten Commandments say, you shall not murder. Jesus says, if you even have anger in your heart, you're already a murderer. The Ten Commandments say you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, if you even look at another person with lust, you have already defiled your body. Jesus goes so far as to say, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is why we have confession tonight. Because we have not disciplined our bodies in such a way that they are used totally and completely for our Father's good purposes. Our bodies get used for sin's purposes. We need to know that there is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And I get to tell you about that, Lord, tonight. I get to speak on his behalf and say, I forgive you all your sins. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ given for you, the blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. I get to tell you about that one who is a God unlike you, but became a human like you, with a body and a mouth and a stomach that could hunger, the one who disciplined that body so he could put it to use on behalf of his Father and on behalf of you, so that he was ready when he was tempted in every way as you are and I am, so that he could be without sin, without anger or malice, without any kind of lust or greed entering his heart the way it does ours. And here's the great thing. That perfect life that he lived, dear Christian, dear baptized believer, it is counted as yours. And when he offered that body of a man, behold the man on the cross, your whole debt to God is paid. Which means that right now, your heavenly Father considers that you are as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Which is why you can use your physical body for him this Lent and always. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may kneel or sit for meditation on the Ten Commandments. If you're not already kneeling, you may do so for confession if you wish. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I repay your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Then let it be done for you as you believe. You may be seated. You'll be ushered forward for absolution. You may remain at the altar as long as you wish. As soon as you're finished praying, you turn to your pew. You do not have to wait for the entire table to be finished. Father. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in our Father's abundant mercy, He would lead us to return to Him with all of our heart, and that the Holy Spirit teach us to fast and pray and give so that we are useful to our Lord's work. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations, that God govern them with justice, that peace prevail, that He overcome selfish rulers, cruel tyrants, and all threats of violence, that He provide daily bread to everyone. Give wisdom to all who lead us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the members of the Christ our Savior family on this Ash Wednesday, that our Father draw each of our hearts to Christ, that He cleanse our iniquities, that He teach us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, injured, mourning, especially for Fern, and for those we now name silently in our hearts. Let God care for those who are ill, hospitalized, and recovering, that He provide comfort for those who mourn, that He give peace to those who are anxious about the cares of life, and that He keep all in His gracious hands. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come to our Savior with penitent hearts, that God hide His face from our sins, that He create in us clean hearts, willing spirits, and a joy in His redeeming work. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who come to the table of our Lord this night, that we who know the enormity of our sins might taste with Christ's body and blood the even greater forgiveness of our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Body of Christ given for me.
Christship for me. Receive the body and blood of the Lord, who hungered, fasted, and died for you. Go in his peace. Thank you.
so nourish, that by love its fruit may flourish, and your neighbor learn from you how much God's wondrous love can do.
The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.